Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
He has been in command of a majority of these at-bats, frustrating Minnesota Twins hitters.
That one's popped up way up in the air. Yuli Gurriel all by himself at first base puts it away for the final out of the seventh inning. Justin Verlander has faced the minimum. Two walks tonight. We are through seven in a 5-0 game.
Really great job by Todd Callis of working around what a lot of people call a jinx as he was doing play-by-play. Justin Verlander hitting a no-no through seven.
I got to say, though, Vanessa, there's nothing that makes me cackle more than annoying the people who believe in jinxes.
Oh, Robert Ford, who does Astros radio play-by-play, is like, does not care. And
because it was a no-hitter through
right.
seven.
It was a no-hitter through seven.
And unless we all believe that we have the ability to affect the entire universe by saying some very minor, unimportant thing, then you're not affecting it by saying it's a no-hitter.
But aren't you a guy that has superstitions with sports?
No.
You don't have any?
None.
Really?
No. I mean, it's different when Tom Brady, I'm wearing today, he's my Lord and Savior.
Right.
But there's nothing else, you know, because it would be heresy. The Spanish Inquisition would happen in the Church of Tom Brady. They would come after me and perhaps kill me and my family. So I do what I have to do.
I will say this. I do like the specific shirt you're wearing. Yeah. For those of you that can't see it, it's Tom Brady in pirate attire.
Because he's a rich, rich, you know what.
Absolutely.
Stealing all the money. But that was awesome to see Justin Verlander. Cool. You know, to go back from Brady to Verlander. Verlander doing this right now makes me feel really good about what he can continue to do. He has been absolutely lights out. And over this 8-game winning streak that the Astros are on, you just keep on now expecting the pitching to hold the opposition completely impotent. And that's what you had. That was a really impressive performance once again by Verlander. And it's just expected.
The bats were able to get going. Obviously, the pitching was phenomenal. And then there were some moments like Alex Bregman had a really great defensive play in the second where he was able to get the ball off quickly. And I just think that this Astros team is showing that they can be more complete. At the beginning of the season, we were saying, okay, the pitching was great, but the bats couldn't get going. And now we're starting to see that more complete roster that we're used to as Astros fans.
Yeah, definitely. And look, defensively, there's a lot of things to point at and say, hey, okay, maybe this wouldn't be quite the same as you have not Carlos Correa at shortstop with that absolute cannon of an arm that he has. And unfortunately, we did not get to see Carlos Correa with the Minnesota Twins in last night's game because he's injured right now. But the defense has been stellar. The pitching has been fantastic. And everything is going extremely well except for the bats. And you just hope that at some point the bats will look like we have seen in years past. But yeah, I thought it was a great team effort by, first off, Justin Verlander, but also the defense behind him, the play by Bregman, some other plays that were made to do what they did last night. And that was a really awesome performance.
Astros now 19-11 on the season. Justin Verlander, of course, falling five outs short of making more history. But regardless, he's back. He's looking good. He's better than ever. And shout out to Brian McTaggart and Chandler Rome. I was on a run and couldn't follow the game for about an hour. It was all on Twitter. I knew that no-no was happening.
Yeah, there you go. And also, Jeremy Pena continues to be
Where's
good.
Where's the song?
Jeremy Pena.
Thank you, Eddie Vedder.
Thank you. Sometimes I forget.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. Yeah, you need me to gas you up.
Yes.
Carlos Correa on the injured list. I was bummed out about this because I wanted to see that competitive. I think there are a lot of Astros fans, which you can kind of do this in baseball where you root for one team, but then you want one player on another team to do really well. Mm-hmm. And Astros fans have done that with George Springer. Bummed Carlos Correa not playing in this series and maybe out for a while, but he had some very nice things to say about Jeremy Pena, the guy who has taken his place on the Astros.
When we lost in the World Series, I pulled him aside and I told him, hey, Pena, next year this most likely will be your team. You know, you'll be playing shortstop for this team. It can happen. So go out there in the offseason, prepare yourself like you're going to play shortstop for this team and, you know, make sure you're ready to go. And, you know, he did just that. You know, he's had a great start to his career. He's everything I knew he could be.
The talent, you know talent when I see it. And from the moment I saw him taking ground balls, hitting BP, and, you know, when you look at his athleticism and his body, you know, he's going to be a superstar in this game. So I'm very happy for him, for all his accomplishments, and I can't wait to see him to congratulate him.
I actually believe Carlos Correa. You know, sometimes people are fake nice. I think Carlos Correa is, like, real nice and likes Jeremy Peña.
That was really gracious. And I think a lot of people would perhaps feel a little bit differently talking about their replacement. But maybe Correa, he's had so much time to think about what was going to take place after this past season and about the route that the Astros might go and the route that he might go. He was obviously thinking he was going to get a massive contract from some other team. So maybe that's helped him in that answer right there. But I would like a very small minority of Astros fans who maybe do not like Carlos Correa for leaving, thought he was greedy or whatever. Listen to that. I mean, that is a guy who legitimately cares about the person who is taking his job and about what he'll do next. That doesn't happen often. Not in this industry where there are egos everywhere. I wouldn't feel very good about, say, I had an intern who was helping me out all the time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the company looks at the intern and they're like, wow, Paul's a just blowhard, non-talent hack. We're going to put this intern in. And the intern ends up doing well. I would be fake nice. I would say all the right things publicly because, you know, you don't want to burn bridges in this industry. But behind the scenes, I would be like, bleep that guy. I can't stand him. He's the worst. He's not a super talent like myself.
I've witnessed this, by the way. I've witnessed the fake nice Paul and then what he actually says behind the scenes. Here's the thing. I've only ever left jobs on my terms, so I'm always happy for the
humble
person.
Brag.
I'm always happy for the person that's replaced me.
I got fired twice. Thanks for rubbing it in, Vanessa.
The girl that replaced me in Cincinnati, Elena, lovely. Mm-hmm. I left KPRC, Chancellor Johnson, hometown kid, does an amazing job. I have always liked the person that replaces me because I've left the way that I want to leave. And, you know, some of us just...
Look, you're actually flexing right now. You're just rubbing it in. That's
I'm not
cruel.
Flexing on you being fired. I'm actually supporting what you're saying because had I been fired or laid off, I don't think I'd be as happy for the person.
Right. And it's not like Correa was fired.
No, absolutely
either,
not.
But there is an element of, hey, I was here when things turned in 2015. My arrival with the Astros was essentially the moment where the Astros went from being a just afterthought, not only in Houston, but across baseball, to being a, oh, wow, look at these guys. They're frisky. They beat the Yankees in the one-game playoff. They almost beat the Kansas City Royals, thanks, Will Harris, in the divisional series. They came really close to going on a run that year, and that was on his arrival. And all of a sudden, a couple of years later, you would like to have that respect shown to you when you have been with this team for such a long period of time and you want that big-time contract, that first just absolutely massive, huge deal that a lot of other shortstops across baseball are getting, and they don't give it to you. I would understand why there maybe would be some sour feelings, but look, he's been a fantastic ambassador in the past for the Astros, and I just hope that if there is anyone out there that's like mad at Correa for some reason, I hope that you hear that and you reconsider.
I don't think anybody's mad at Correa, but some people may be mad at Brian McTaggart, who of course works for MLB.com,
yes.
Does a lot of writing, and we were talking about this earlier, Paul, not exactly believing in jinxes or superstitions.
No such thing as ghosts.
He's not even a little bit of... Okay, that's wrong.
100% true.
Ghosts are real.
Okay. Is this paranormal activity?
So are spirits.
Mm.
So you think when people die, they just die?
Whoa, are you getting deep here?
Brian McTaggart...
Do we want to go down that rabbit hole?
Brian McTaggart was tweeting about the no-hitter, which a lot of people in baseball consider bad luck. Here's what Justin Verlander had to say after his almost no-hitter to Brian McTaggart.
So you were just five outs away from a no-hitter. Just how much was that in your mind when you went out there in the eighth inning?
I wasn't worried about it. I saw you texted or tweeted a bunch about it, so I knew it wouldn't happen.
Come on now.
Verlander's
that's pretty funny.
Got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, and look, and credit to Brian McTaggart, who is the one that's doing all of these interviews that like allows us to get some of these interviews that we can play on the air. Like, I'm glad. Shout out to you, Brian, for posting these so that we can play these. But I do think it's really funny that baseball has this weird superstition-y side to it. Like, I don't think it exists in football. I don't think it exists in basketball. But in baseball, you don't step on the foul line. You... as we've mentioned, you don't mention a no-hitter's happening. There's a bunch of weird stuff with baseball. Is it because it's such an ancient sport?
It is. It's because it's America's pastime, and that's why traditions remain so much in baseball that other sports leagues don't even care about and that aren't even on their radar.
Mm,
like,
weird.
There's nobody during a football game that's like, don't tweet that Tom Brady's about to break a record or else he won't break the record. It just doesn't happen.
Because he'll break the record anyway, too.
Coming up on Vanessa, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of Tom Brady and Paul Gallant's Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is also going to make history at some point in the broadcast booth. Plus, Paul's favorite subject, the NFL schedule release, happening tomorrow. That's next.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, by now you have heard the news. We've been wondering who will be color commentator alongside Kevin Burkhart. We don't know who it will be for this season, but we know that when he retires, it will be Kevin Burkhart, Tom Brady, and we assume Aaron Andrews on the sideline. That will be Fox's new A-team. When Tom Brady will retire, we don't know, but it was announced by Lachlan Murdoch, Fox CEO, on an earnings call. The deal is for 10 years, $345 million, and that's a whopping $58 million more than he's made as a player.
That part's insane.
I agree with you on that. The financial part, the fact that this is more that he made as a player, is insane to me.
Because I can totally understand why Fox would back up the Brinks truck to bring in Tom Brady. I could totally understand that, not just for the whole, hey, let's see what he does as an analyst. I really do think that just having him as essentially a toy for all the bigwigs to play with at any big, massive Fox shareholder meeting, that I feel like is the main ploy here.
It's insane. I mean, it's a lot of cash. It's a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this narrative and this storyline is going to be a distraction for the Bucks this season?
Well, there is this element of, hey, we never know when Tom Brady's going to play his last game for the Bucks, but hasn't that been happening for the last 2 years? I feel like everyone who plays for the Bucks right now is there with the mentality of, we are going to just love the hell out of every single second that we have playing with this guy. Because there's a certain point where obviously
he'll be 45.
Right. He's going to be gone. So all you can do is enjoy it. And I mean, I think that for everyone who's on that Bucks team, what an unbelievable privilege to have this guy just join you. And over the last 2 years, turn the Bucks into probably the best that they've ever looked outside of that run that they had in the late 90s, early 2000s with that incredible defense that had Derek Brooks, that had Warren Sapp, that had Rondé Barber, John Lynch. I mean, they were great teams. And on the offensive side, too, you had Warrick Dunn. You had Keyshawn Johnson, who was on earlier today. Keenan McCardell. That was a damn good football team.
He's never going to be known as a money grabber as a player because he was known for the opposite. He would take less money to build the roster up more. I don't know that he's being a money grabber now, but I mean, this is the most money a sports broadcaster has ever made.
I just love that.
And he's never broadcasted. Oh, wait, he's still playing. I mean, I think he's going to do really well. No, I actually think he's going to do well. It is a risk, though.
It is a risk, and I think, you know, yesterday at first when I saw the news, because we talked about this in the 11 o'clock hour, I thought to myself, well, there's an element of Brady who has always been a master politician when someone has put a microphone in front of him and he's not controlling where the conversation goes, where he's been extremely political, always saying the best things he possibly can about anyone who's playing against him. But then you saw the documentary, Man in the Arena, and you saw a little bit more from him. Can he do well off script? On script, based off of that documentary that he did, I think he will do very well. But a game is, of course, random, and there's lots of ups and downs that you can't predict. How are you going to react in real time? And as you mentioned, how critical is he going to be willing to be? I know personally, I like to have a broadcaster a la Troy Aikman who is going to be critical, who is going to point out things and say, that was awful. What was going on there? and say it with the kind of disgust that I think is merited in situations. Because if you're a fan and you're watching your team screw up on TV, you want somebody to be watching the game and to highlight it in a way that you're feeling right now. Oh, what the heck happened right here? Is Brady going to be able to do that? I will say two things about this, that though I should give Brady the benefit of the doubt. Because how many times, first off, has he proven all of us wrong, including myself? Often. This guy's going to work his ass off for the job. And we have seen him on the sidelines, whether it was with Bill O'Brien or other players, he gets into it with other people. He's willing to go on a tirade against somebody else. I don't think he's going to do that on the broadcast, but there is that side to him. A competitive, hey, in your face, I will get after you if you aren't doing what I expect of you. And he's got to find a way to harness that and give a like vanilla, more vanilla version of that fire and
that's
pep.
That's a great point that I actually have not heard anybody make. Because a lot of people on all the networks, everybody has said, is he going to be able to talk about maybe a guy that he played with 2 years ago at that point? I mean, if he retires, let's say he retires in 2 years, and he's calling a Bucks game, he may really love those guys that he's trying to be critical of. But that's a good point that he's done it before. He's been in guys' faces on the sideline. Troy Aikman's the perfect example because I do not think Troy cares. I mean, Cowboys fans love Troy, and if they don't like him because of something he says, too bad. He and Tony Romo have actually been really good about being critical of the Cowboys. Do you think Tom Brady will be able to be critical of the Bucks and the Pats?
He definitely has the ability, mindset-wise, to feel that way too, right? I mean, there's no one that's going to come back at him say he's critical at the way that you could at Tony Romo. Hey, Tony, what do you know? Your biggest moment ever, you fumbled a snap for an extra point attempt in that game between the Cowboys and Seahawks in the playoffs. Like, you biffed it. Where, with Brady, much like with Michael Jordan, who we saw in The Last Dance, I mean, Brady is better than everyone has ever been. And I think there is an element of he will perhaps be very elitist in what he wants to see. I think one of the best parts about The Last Dance and with Michael Jordan out there was seeing Michael Jordan reacting to other people's opinion. Yeah. He's like, no, it was like this. It was like that. Can he be that kind of authoritative presence? I don't know. There's a couple of comments saying like, yeah, you haven't really seen a whole lot of his personality before. It's been kind of vanilla. They are right when you say that.
The most personality he showed was when he got drunk on the boat at the Super Bowl parade, which
so
I love.
We need to get him drunk for every broadcast.
At every broadcast.
I think that's against FCC regulations, though.
I think that Fox was looking to make a splash after, yeah. I mean, after you lose Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and you're about to do a shareholders meeting before football season starts and you're the Murdoch family, you need to do something that's going to let people know. I've been watching Succession, so it's no big deal. I basically know everything about business now. Sean and Paul are extremely tired of me talking about
this. No, I love that you're talking about the show. I love the show.
But allow me to give you my conspiracy theory.
Put on the tinfoil hat.
The tinfoil hat is going on.
It's very majestic on you.
I have three reasons why I think that Tom Brady is not only going to work for Fox Sports. I think he's going to work for Fox. I think Tom Brady, now it won't happen probably the first year he's in the booth, but I think they integrate him into an influencer type, maybe even political role for all of Fox. Allow me to give you my three reasons why. You may think it's crazy, but listen. Number one. It was not just anybody who made the announcement. It wasn't Eric Shanks, the head of Fox Sports. It wasn't anybody with Fox Sports. It was Lachlan Murdoch, the CEO of Fox. Does anybody watch Succession? Okay, so Succession, it's been said, like on NPR, is loosely based on the Murdoch family. Rupert Murdoch founded Fox. He's in his 90s. At some point, he's going to bite the dust, and we don't know if it's going to be Lachlan or James, like on Succession. Is it going to be Roman, Kendall, Shiv, whatever? So it wasn't anybody from Fox Sports that made this announcement. It was Lachlan Murdoch of Fox, the CEO, okay? So who made the announcement, I think, is key. The second part is the wording, because he's not only going to be a broadcaster per Fox, he's going to be, quote, an ambassador for the company. Now, the company could mean Fox Sports. The company could also mean Fox.
It also could mean the Republican Party.
Number three, it's a lot of cash. And here's the thing. I mean, it's a lot of cash. It's $345 million for 10 years, and it's $58 million more than he's made as a player. It's a little more digestible, though, if he is the influencer face of not just Fox Sports, but Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady is going to enter the Fox arena, not just the Fox Sports arena, and you heard it here first.
He's also got a 10-year contract. They're giving him almost $500 million.
Yeah, that's one of my points was the money.
Let me go a little further with this, Vanessa.
Tom Brady for president?
Put on my, yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, it's totally believable.
I mean, think about it. I mean, an extremely political network brings in the essential All-American, the greatest football player of all time based off of success, and you have this handsome, charismatic, married to a supermodel person who, even with fans now, is seeming to get a better Q rating now that he has left the Patriots. Are you telling me that that person will not be potentially groomed to be a politician of some sorts over the next 10 years? Because Brady at age 55, I mean, we've elected Ronald Reagan before, who was an actor. We and obviously then, elected a reality TV show
and
star,
then
too.
And then one president who had no political, I don't care about your political views, yeah. By the way, like literally couldn't care less,
saying.
So don't come at me. But we did elect somebody that had no political experience twice, right? Ronald Reagan, I guess. Did Ronald Reagan have any?
He was
the governor
of California.
He was
the governor. Professor.
But he is
Professor
the Gipper.
Sean, thank you. Arnold Schwarzenegger was never president, but he sunk an entire state. So
allegedly.
I mean, yeah, he did. And got frisky with the housekeeper. But I think it's totally. The DNA test proved it. But I think it's totally, totally possible what you're saying. And
I think it's going to happen.
I'm going to tweet out the clip of my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And then in 5 years.
You're going to play it up.
Oh, because it's happening. It's happening. And we didn't get to the NFL.
Is funny. The Twitch is like, Paul, you would worship him. Yes, I would. I'm going to be in his cabinet because I was there
Brady's
first.
Brady's going to be Tucker Carlson in 5 years. Never said that. No, but here's the thing.
Funny.
Never said that. I said influencer. If you have Tom Brady.
Let me tell you about the Los Angeles Rams.
I never said that Tom Brady would be Tucker Carlson, okay? But an influencer for the company, the face of the company, you stick him on some commercials, hello, goodbye. I'm proud of this one. I really am.
I like it, too.
I would love for, like, we have all these grand plans of what it means, and it just means he'll be on, like, The Masked Singer as a judge every once in a while.
Yeah,
or
he'll just be on.
Or they brought this up on Good Morning Football. He may not even do every game.
Then what would he possibly be doing to make $30 million a year?
Being an influencer for Fox.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
He's like holding a goat.
Hey,
I represent American values. It's
Tom
me, Tom
Brady's
Brady.
Probably got a couple homes, and yours probably isn't as big. But mm-hmm. If you own yours, listen to me.
Oh, there you go.
You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. But it doesn't have to be a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS, they have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text, and you'll probably save a bunch of cash. So take your phone right now. Text the word money to 232323. The system asks for your address. You just send that back, and you get the full quote within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. The savings are real. Their average customer from last year, guys, saving over $870 on home insurance. So, again, I know you don't like to do it, but TGS makes shopping for home insurance the easiest it's ever been. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Casting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. We're halfway through the week.
See, it's so much better than Tuesday because Wednesday, you're halfway there.
Yeah.
You're close.
Tuesday's the worst day of the week just in general.
Yeah, because you're not at Wednesday yet. Wednesday, you're like, I can see the finish line from here. The light is at the end of the tunnel. And I'm racing towards it. Please, get me to Friday.
Astros dominate last night. Some mm-hmm. fun in Minnesota. We didn't get to see our friend Carlos Correa because he's on the injured list. But one of the other narratives and storylines with the Astros yesterday was an article that Bob Nightingale wrote for USA Today. And it went a little bit into the cheating scandal, the aftermath, Jim Crane in general, and his plans. But one of the pieces of the article that really stood out to me that had some people talking was that there was a little bit of a retort or a response to Brian Cashman of the Yankees' comments. Now, just a refresher, was Brian Cashman a couple of months ago told The Athletic, regarding them winning the World Series, the Yankees. Quote, the only thing that stopped us was something that was so illegal and horrific. So I get offended when I start hearing we haven't been to the World Series since 09 because I'm like, well, I think we actually did it the right way. End quote. We had not heard Jim Crane respond to that until Bob Nightingale, shout out to Bob Nightingale, got Jim Crane to talk about it. I found his comments to be extremely strange, Jim Crane said. There's the letter, and you were doing it too. You were there, dude. What are you talking about? If I was one of the teams and I knew our team was doing it, I'd keep my mouth shut and just go about our business. But listen, I can only control what's going on here. I can't control what the other guys do. I think he's right. If you were doing it, and if the letter proves it, why are you still talking about it? That's a great point by Jim Crane.
I just think everybody did it. And right. Look, you might have done a lesser degree of it. I suppose this opens up a conversation about, is all cheating the same? Because I know a lot of people do feel that way. There's no denying that the Astros went above and beyond when it came to what they were doing with the sign stealing. But there were other teams who were doing it, and in ways that were nefarious. And there was only one team that was investigated post-2017 for all of those things. It was not the Yankees. It was not the Boston Red Sox. Those teams were punished for what took place prior to that memo being sent out, which was in the 2017 season. And I just think it's naive to believe that none of those teams who were punished before, after getting a small fine and a memo, that every single team across baseball all of a sudden decided, yeah, we're not going to do this. The Colorado Rockies are a team that no one's really discussed on this front. The Colorado Rockies were allegedly, per, I forget the guy's name, but an ex-catcher, he said that instead of using a trash can to give out signals, the Rockies, who were also using a video replay system of some sort, were using a Theragun, which they would bang off of their bench. Have you ever seen a Theragun? Theraguns are definitely something that would make a lot of noise if hit up against a metal bench or something like that. So that's just one team. Other teams were doing varying degrees of this. And if you want a little bit more proof, I would just ask you to rewatch Game 7 of the World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, another team who has been linked to it but has never had any definitive blood on their hands. It's sort of like with I'm trying to think of somebody who everyone assumes cheated, but there was never any definitive evidence that they did. Maybe there's someone in the steroid era that we had that kind of gut feeling with.
I mean, there are people all the time that are asked if whether or not they did steroids, and they get genuinely offended because they didn't. Like, but, one thing, like, I know Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas will always tell you, I was clean.
Ladies, she's going to love it, too.
I love him, by the way. It's a great commercial.
Frank Thomas here for Eugenics. Yeah, but I don't want to start crying.
I do understand why people that did it, quote-unquote, the right way want to make it clear, whether it's steroids, cheating, whatever. I do understand why they get defensive. Mm-hmm. But with these teams, to what you're talking about, is anybody completely clean when it comes to cheating?
Exactly. And to finish up with that Game 7 reference, that game featured so many passed balls. And I remember talking with Lance McCullers about this over on the flagship for the Texans. And he was saying, we had so many crossed up signs because we knew that the Dodgers were stealing signs. Mm-hmm. And just go back and watch the beginning of that game. Game 7 of the 2017 World Series is one of the sloppiest games that you will ever see from a pitching perspective. Pass balls, walks, etc. And it was because the signs were getting crossed up so much. So I just find it ridiculous that there are still some who are willing to point at it and use that as an excuse for their own shortcomings, you know?
One of the other things from the article that was really interesting, Jim Crane talked about this last year after the Astros ended their run with the World Series. We've seen this pop up in baseball, and Jim Crane saw it when he went to Atlanta, that the Atlanta Braves have built this awesome. I briefly dated a guy in Atlanta, and there is an awesome area around the ballpark that is called, I think it's called the Battery. And it's all these restaurants, bars, there's like a candy shop, there's shopping, and it's all around the ballpark. It's like an entertainment center. And Houston doesn't have that. I mean, obviously there are some restaurants around the ballpark, but there's not like a center.
I'm partial to Edo, though. I think Edo has gotten better. It has gotten a little bit better.
Well, Jim Crane's the one that said it's not there. So if Jim Crane says it's not there, you know, I get what you're saying, but
Pitch 25
shout out to Brian Ching. I like Pitch 25.
What's it
but
called?
It is not right by the ballpark and a center specifically for Astros fans.
That's true. So yeah, you got to go underneath the highway to get over there.
Jim Crane had mentioned in the press conference last year as the season ended that he wanted to create a space similar to that. And I believe there's one in St. Louis as well which is where Jim Crane is from. So in the article with Bob Nightingale, he talked about his plans, the changes in downtown. They're going to build condos and apartments, replacing vacant buildings and homes. They plan to build a hotel and have their own entertainment village, quote, becoming more Chicago-esque than it ever has been in the past. I'm excited to see that. And I think that Jim Crane, with his background in logistics and all of that, they have the potential to make a really exciting area around Minute Maid Park.
I think it's going to be very cool what he's able to do. And I, for one, I don't know how everyone feels about this, but I do wish. So one thing about Houston that I wish could be a little bit cooler is that the downtown area was more like a traditional downtown. I got to say, though, like in the 10 years that I've been here, it has made strides. I know no one used to go downtown.
But now
there's that stretch on Main Street that I like to go to that's got several bars. And as I was saying before, I think, is it Truck Yard?
I love Truck Yard.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, Truck Yard's like one of my favorite places. And that area in Edo, it's good. Like, it's gotten a lot better of late. Yeah, we'll see what they're able to do out there. You know, for as someone who grew up in Boston, outside of Fenway Park, they have this little stretch called Yawkey Way, and there's like a bunch of little bars and restaurants, and a lot of people just go there and they hang out there. They don't even necessarily go into the games because sometimes those games are really expensive. So it would be cool to have an area like that, especially to party after, say, the Astros win another World Series.
Have you been to the Ballpark Village in St. Louis?
I've never been to St. Louis.
I think. Oh, really? Okay. No.
It's the Midwest.
Come on now.
Flyover state.
Look at us.
It is a flyover state.
Just flew right over.
It's where the honest people are. Mm-hmm. But
like the birds. They're honest. They're in Missouri.
I do think great show. The ending of Ozark. Holy crap!
I thought the last couple episodes were slow, but the ending was good.
They were very slow, and I get what they were trying to do. Rich people win in the end. That's a great line about the Kennedys and the Cooks before you know who perishes. But yeah,
everyone. Everyone died.
Everyone
got hit.
Dies.
The world. No spoilers. It's really crazy. The end of Ozark. It gets hit by an asteroid, and the world just ends.
Yeah, that is the ending.
The birds had to try to save the planet, and they were playing like Aerosmith. It didn't work out.
We're going to talk about the NFL schedule news as well as some NBA coming up. But first, Paul's going to tell you about a business you need to be aware of.
Yeah, guys, I got to tell you about my friends at Passive Investor Network. These guys are fantastic. I know a lot of you are probably looking for ways to make a little extra money, and you see all the housing prices these days, and you're thinking to yourself, how do I get in on that action, especially if you have no knowledge whatsoever? But the Passive Investor Network, they are here to help you out on that front. And look, if you go and hang out with my friends at Pint, they're going to show you the exact process with which you personally can ultimately make money. They will give you a personalized 5-year plan. All you got to do is go to passiveinvestor.net, and they're going to even show it to you in action on their famous bus tours. There's one coming up on May 21st. It's 10 days away, and you can sign up through their website with the promo code ESPN at passiveinvestor.net. It's passiveinvestor.net. These guys take all of the hassle of real estate investment out of your hands. You can be involved if you want to, but why not have the experts take care of it for you? Passiveinvestor.net. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Guys, it's happening tonight, and you do not want to miss this. The 2022 Listener Appreciation Party. Join Paul and I, along with all the other talent here at ESPN 97.5, and our special guest from ESPN, Keyshawn Johnson, Wednesday, May 11th. Yes, that's today, guys. St. Arnold Brewery. We're going to be broadcasting live from noon tonight. So Paul and I are the last show today that's in studio. The rest will be live at St. Arnold. Come hang out with us. You're going to enjoy some prizes. You're going to enjoy beer. And Chef Ryan at St. Arnold even came up with a special pizza for Keyshawn Johnson called Just Give Me the Damn Pizza. Of course, paying homage to Keyshawn Johnson's Just Give Me the Damn Ball. So come out May 11th tonight. Listener Appreciation Party. It's at St. Arnold Brewery. We're all going to be there. Again, beer, food, door prizes. And Keyshawn, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
I can't wait. Trying to think about what Hawaiian shirt I'm going to wear out tonight. You
it's
know?
Always a really, really really tough choice for you.
I got my Lucky Charms shirt, which would be appropriate given that the Boston Celtics will be playing. You're going to get to watch sports fan Paul in his element.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Not many people are.
I feel like that's like a thing that I'm not ready for.
He's very quiet, generally.
No way. Do you believe that?
That is the most unbelievable thing.
There's no way that's true.
I'm not kidding. I will generally just sit.
What about when something goes wrong?
With a pure focus. Every now and then I will say something.
Oh.
But for the most part.
I imagine you're big on the, ref.
Oh, I don't blame the refs for anything.
Really?
No. I take a great deal of pride in not ever being ref guy. I have to be the anti Ben DeBose. You know, Ben DeBose is my yang.
I love Ben DeBose.
The universe is balanced.
Right.
Yeah. Both of
Ben thinks like that, you know, referees caused 9/11, allegedly. I'm just kidding. But that's Ben thinks everyone has been wronged by referees. And I'm like, the refs are there. The calls even themselves out over the course of the game.
Yeah. Also, if everyone gets wronged by the referees,
it evens out.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's something at the end of the game in a close game and it changes the outcome.
But that's the thing, though. Everyone acts like the last couple of seconds of a referee screwing something up. Like, that is more of a big deal than something that happened earlier in the game. There could be a bad call in the first quarter. And I think that referees have a really difficult job.
Aww.
Not to be a stand for referees. I just think it's really hard for a lot of these guys to do it. Yeah, I'm a ref simp.
Let's hear it for the refs, guys.
Anyway, I sit back. I cross my arms. I generally look dead ahead. If something really good happens, then yes, I will hoot. I will holler. I will, as Larry Bird once told me, scream and cheer. You gonna scream and cheer? Before I went to my first Celtics game. I met him before the game. I was 6 years old.
Aww,
my dad went up
to
him. He got him to come over. We took a picture together. He was unbelievably friendly. And he said, you gonna scream and cheer, Paul? And I did.
People from Indiana are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Another NFL announcement this morning before the full slate of games are announced tomorrow.
Is this more schedule?
Paul loves when I talk about schedules. Paul loves when I talk about the
NFL.
It's
so dumb.
It's really not. Cowboys,
it's really not.
Cowboys and Packers. Week 10, November 13th. Look, I do agree that it's been a little bit of an overkill looking ahead to the NFL schedule announcement, the full one, which will be tomorrow. But Cowboys at Packers at Lambeau Field in November, Week 10, is going to be a good game with a lot of storylines. You have Rodgers facing his former coach of 13 years, Mike McCarthy. I think the two get along. I also think the other one wants to absolutely eviscerate the other one in a game. And I think that's going to be a good one. What will Rodgers look like without Devontae? I mean, both have lost a lot of key pieces.
This is the game that they just throw out there like, hey, the ratings game. Woohoo! Yeah! Packers and Cowboys.
So you were mad about international games. Because you don't like the foreigners.
Well, why does this game get a separate announcement?
You were mad about the Cowboys-Packers.
The Cowboys are marginal. They are
marginal. You thought that the Monday night games that Troy and Joe announced were lame. What would make you happy? No NFL announcements? Grumpy Paul.
Yes, no NFL announcements.
Okay.
Do it all at once. Can we stop acting like Packers-Cowboys is individually a good game? No, it's two massive fan bases that want to hear about this game being announced. But let's be honest, the Packers are taking a step back without Devontae Adams, and we have seen them in the playoffs the last couple of years puke all over themselves early on. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, you have home field advantage. What are you going to do with it? Oh, that's right, not be anywhere close to the greatest quarterback of all time. Second, the Cowboys, who cares? Who cares? Woohoo! We got a star in our helmet. You guys have been ass for years. Non-talent.
Okay, this guy's quiet when he watches the Celtics play, Sean.
See, this is not what you will see when you watch me watch a game. I'm just saying,
this guy's quiet.
Why does this game get an individual announcement? Why? Why? Woohoo! My grandfather watched the Packers and the Cowboys in the Ice Bowl in 1967. It was awesome. Yeah. Oh wait, we lost the game. Like the Cowboys stop. Like this doesn't need a separate announcement. Thank you.
I'm done. You're going
to
scream and cheer, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, this is the guy that has no emotions. But we will know more, of course, about that schedule tomorrow when the full schedule is released and I can start planning my trip to Vegas. Let's talk a little bit of NBA. James Harden with the South Beach flu, ers blown out by the Heat in Game 5, 120-85. There were turnovers galore. There was a lack of defense. They just looked like they had no energy. And I actually like what Tim Legler brought up on ESPN this morning on Get Up, Harden and Embiid were so chill and relaxed after the game in their press conferences. There really wasn't a lot of competitive fire. It's just a strange series.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to figure out like what am I supposed to feel now that we have seen like just it kind of go up and down the way that it has. I guess to this point, you know, am I supposed to believe that James Harden is better? Like a lot of people were trying to do after game four, you know, like that's James Harden, what you saw last night. Joel Embiid can't do it all on his own. And I just got to say, too, the Miami Heat are just a tougher team. Like, I'm sorry. If I'm going to just go back to the completely vanilla, basic, hey, like, this is why this series is going the way that it has, I respect Miami more. And they have that home field advantage, as you have on our rundown about the old South Beach flu.
Yeah, I know. Doc Rivers' job. Is it in question? Is he on the hot seat?
It does feel that way. They have to find a scapegoat for it. It's so strange. Like, the second round of the playoffs is going to determine so much about the future of the Sixers. Obviously, Joel Embiid's going to be there, and I would imagine Daryl Morey's going to still be there. But it does feel like Doc Rivers is a very convenient scapegoat for a regime that got a fresh start this year with Daryl Morey, you know, like really getting his guys back, like him bringing in James Harden. It feels like, okay, they're trying to do their own thing here. I feel like Rivers is the most likely person to be blamed. And they're going to try to bring back Harden this offseason, but that's just a really tricky contract to think about. And if I'm Philadelphia, I don't know. I don't know what I do. Like, you're obviously better off than you were with Ben Simmons, but do you really feel like this guy is going to be worthy of a max contract when it's clear that he doesn't take care of his body the way that he needs to? You know, this is a guy who just does not seem to be.
Do you think Morey would bite the bullet on Rivers before Harden, though, because he brought Harden in and went out of his way and had so much faith in
he'll,
him?
He'll try.
Because that's what I think will happen. I think ultimately Doc Rivers goes first because the path of Daryl Morey admitting. And I do think Daryl Morey is somebody who can admit that he made a mistake, but they paid him a lot of cash, and they tried to resurgence his career.
We've already heard rumors about, like, Rivers going to, what, the Lakers or something like that. So, yeah, it feels like the exit for Rivers has already been paved, and you could hear him getting salty during the press conference, too. So he must know that this is not the optimal situation for him. I really do not know what you're supposed to do, though, as a coach, when you have a guy like Harden who is just supposed to be different than what he is right now. And you were advertised, hey, James Harden from 2018, James Harden from Houston. And what you have, I mean, I don't know. I do think it's funny that there are still some Harden fans in Houston, but I would imagine that they are becoming fewer and more, fewer and farer,
further lay lie. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Words are hard.
Laid?
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, Mavericks at Suns, that one was uneventful as well. 110-80, Phoenix wins. Devin Booker had 28 points. 28 points. Good defense by Suns in the second half.
Yeah.
That one was
this
on in the background.
These games both sucked. Like, what else is there to say?
Totally uninteresting.
The most interesting part of this game was during the halftime show and Kenny and Chuck racing to the board.
That was very funny.
That was the most entertained I was all last night.
There was a really entertaining Tampa Bay Rays at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Why was that so hard for me to say? My brain is fried. Eighth inning, Angels up 8-0. Mike Trout hits second homer of the night, makes it 10-0. And then Anthony Rendon, Houston native, decided to hit left-handed for the first time in his career and hit a home run. 22-year-old Reed Detmers threw a no-hitter in his 11th career start. But the best part of this game was the Tampa Bay Rays Twitter account after, in which they tweeted out the 12-0 final score and said, quote, "There will be times in life where you crank that Soulja Boy, and there will be other times where that Soulja Boy cranks you."
Oh, what a good song. 2007. Good song. Hell yeah. That was my freshman year of college at Cuse.
That was my sixth grade, but yeah, it was a great time.
Crank that Soulja Boy. And then they did like a remix of it. It was like, "Do the Spider-Man."
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a fun game. That was a baseball game that even though it was 12-0, I thought was fun. Anthony Rendon hitting opposite, all of that. That was cool.
Yes, it's nice to watch a rout of a baseball game. I actually prefer routes to pitching duels.
That's what I just said to Sean before the show.
We were talking about that before the
show. I was talking about when a game ends up being like, you know, in the rare occasion, it's 12-8. It's like, I think that's more fun for fans, even if your team is on the losing part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would much rather watch my team murder another team than play in a close game.
Murder's mean.
It is mean.
But I get what you mean.
But it's more fun to watch.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we got a great segment ahead. We're talking more about the Astros and Jim Crane's plans for downtown. That's next.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.